Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
This time 3 years ago, Bitcoin exploded and reached huge levels before disappearing again. But now the value of the cryptocurrency has skyrocketed. So it's now the time to invest. Nick Charalambos is the managing director of Alpha Wealth. He's previously invested in Bitcoin and he's here to explain the benefits and the drawbacks of it and hopefully explain a bit more about cryptos in general to us. Morning, Nick.
Good morning.
It's Dermot chatting to you. Dave is here as well.
And hey, Nick.
We're very much amateurs in this. So I want you to imagine that you're talking to two Montessori school children.
That's about and even level. That's a push. Right. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we promoted ourselves there. But look, explain Bitcoin to people in the most basic terms and just the basic history of it.
So basically, Bitcoin was invented about 13 years ago and it was essentially formed by a group of people of which the, I suppose, origins are unknown. There's a chap, we believe, by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto, who was supposed to have started Bitcoin. And it's essentially a digital currency. So the same way that we would see euro notes as a form of currency, Bitcoin was launched or, you know, invented to become a digital currency, and the main differentiator was that there's no requirement for any central bank. It was almost like a currency system outside of the regulated system that we recognize. Now, I suppose, again, to put it in maybe layman's terms, it's never really taken off over that period, and Bitcoin wasn't really for the masses up until about, as you said, 3 years ago, when its price skyrocketed. And to put it in context, Bitcoin was worth only a few cents up until about 5 years ago. And its value then started to increase. And nobody really knows why. You know, I studied economics and, you know, I look at the reasons why prices go up and go down, as most of us recognize, you know, whenever we look at buying anything like a property or any form of, you know, I suppose, tangible asset. And Bitcoin is one of these strange ones where it's very difficult to know where the price will move because there's so many different factors, some of which include theft, if I can say that. You know, there's been a lot of coins that have been stolen. There's this kind of, I suppose, criticism that has been placed on it through, you know, illegal activity that it's been used for. But in recent times, and I suppose it really started 3 years ago, and more recently over the last few months, has started to come back into favor. And I suppose the reasons I think that this has happened, and it's only really people guessing more than anything, because nobody knows, again, why the price has gone up a lot over the last few months. But there's certainly been some key pointers. And I think the main one has been that PayPal, who I think we all recognize, have now allowed Bitcoin and I suppose people that use PayPal to actually buy goods through the PayPal system.
So they're legitimizing it then to the mass market, and that presumably has a knock-on positive effect to its value.
We've also seen it come up as well on apps like Revolut. So it's that normalization process that I suppose is making it more accessible. Is it still a difficult process to buy it? And as you say, theft has been a thing in the past. There is a saying, isn't it, something to the effect of if you don't have your Bitcoin, it's not your Bitcoin. So the idea that your Bitcoin currencies or your cryptos would rest with someone else sometimes leaves you open to things like theft.
It does, but I suppose what I would say, the way I access Bitcoin, and I bought it actually after the last wave, which, as we know, occurred back in December 2017, I unfortunately at the time bought it at $11,000 a coin. Its price as of today is around $26,500. So in essence, I've done well. Now, I sold about a week ago because I felt that it was at a value that wouldn't be sustained. But that'll tell you how much I knew because I sold too early. But the key thing, going back to your question around, you know, I suppose the security of Bitcoin, I wouldn't be overly concerned. There are some very good recognizable exchanges that you can purchase Bitcoin on. Coinbase is probably the most notable one, which is actually going to be has listed for registration. But there are other forms. I mean, there's an online trading platform called DeGiro, which some people may be familiar with, some of your listeners. And it's a cheap platform that doesn't allow the purchase of physical coins, but it allows a kind of a proxy, if you like. It's almost like giving you access to the value of Bitcoin, but without physically purchasing the Bitcoin itself.
Right, so there's some more basic questions I think we need to answer here for a second. So we're talking to Nick Charalambos, Managing Director of Alpha Wealth, about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. So when you're saying, Nick, that there's exchanges that allow you to not physically own the Bitcoin, does that mean that, for example, most people who don't use that exchange, they do actually own a coin? Is that accurate?
It is in a way. I mean, it's the same, and probably the closest proxy I can give you is gold. Like, a lot of people have, I suppose, some exposure to gold, but they don't physically own, you know, have doubloons out in their back garden.
Right.
It's, you know, you can get access to gold in many different forms. And I know, again, just try and put it in layman's terms, it's almost like just thinking that they're in a vault somewhere, but yet they're your, you know, gold coins. And it's the same with Bitcoin. Whether you physically own them or not, I wouldn't be overly concerned within that. These exchanges recognize the fact that you have the exposure, and you would benefit financially from that if the value goes up. And accordingly, you would lose out
if it goes down. Let's talk about that risk for a second, because the text has just come into us. It says, what is this and how can I get rich from it? So if someone is sitting at home there and maybe through good fortune, they have a couple of quid knocking around, they're going, what'll I do with this? Like, how risky is Bitcoin compared to gold or any other investment you might make?
Okay, so that's a really good question. And this is the thing that I always say to people, okay, because funny enough, people have said to me in the past, oh, Nick, I really want to get to purchase Bitcoin, like, how do I do that? And I always ask them, well, why do you want to purchase it? And it's about making money. Let's call a spade a spade. Mm. Whenever I talk to people around, you know, risk and reward, and we talk about a scale, so typically the scale from a European perspective operates from a 1 to 7, 1 being your cash deposits, which, as we know, there's no return in the banks, which is why people are starting to look at things like Bitcoin and part of why its value has gone up. 7, which is obviously the complete other extreme on the spectrum, you would put Bitcoin in absolutely. If there was an 8, it would be an 8.
Right, so it's beyond the riskiest thing that we currently have. You would go riskier again. That's Bitcoin.
And the context of which I'll say that is Bitcoin's value went up 300% in 2020. Yesterday, its price fell 14% in one day alone. I was actually writing an article, and while I was writing the article, its value fell 14%, believe it or not.
Wow,
tell you how risky it is.
Okay. So would you buy it maybe as a more long-term investment and say, look, I'm going to spend, whatever, a grand on this stuff, and I'm just going to let it sit there for the next 5 years and see what happens. Is that a better approach?
Absolutely. And it's the same approach that you should take with any investment. So if you have a listener out there thinking, okay, yeah, I have a few quid and I want to get my money working harder for me. And it goes around to, you know, what level of risk they will accept. But they should never be a speculator. You know, speculation is for people who want to go down to the casino or you know, to Paddy Power's. I'm not, you know, keen on anyone doing that, because as we know, you can lose as much as you can make. And one thing I would say to any of the listeners who are considering buying Bitcoin, or indeed any of the cryptocurrencies, and we must remember there are more than 3,000 currencies out there, like coins out there, that, you know, it's about diversification and it's about the level of risk that you can accept. So yes, I would absolutely say to people, if they are considering buying Bitcoin, or indeed any of the other cryptocurrencies. And just to mention to you that Ethereum, which is the second biggest coin, its value went up yesterday by 22%.
When Bitcoin went down.
When Bitcoin went down by 40%.
Okay.
And Ethereum went up 600% last year. But everyone talks about Bitcoin because it is the grandfather.
Yeah.
It's the one that we all recognize. But there are other coins out there. And again, Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's so many questions coming in. I just want to get to as many of them as we can. Are we too late at the Bitcoin party is one of the questions that's coming in from a lot of people. Because obviously, it's as you said, it's been around for 13 years. It's the kind of thing that's been in our psyche for a little while, particularly the last 3 years. But yeah, is it too late or are we okay still?
It's a difficult one to answer. And without trying to sort of be on the fence, I've read reports recently that have suggested that Bitcoin's value could go up over $100,000 a coin. It could be complete conjecture. I remember when I bought 3 years ago, I thought to myself, it would never get back up to the 20,000 a coin level. And we find ourselves today with its value at 26,500. I don't think you can say definitively. One thing we do know is that there is an absolutely defined number of coins that will be produced or minted, as it's called, and that's 21 million. And at the moment, the current production is about 18.5. But it really will depend, again, back on the demand that is out there and how, you know, the market perceives Bitcoin, or indeed any of the other coins that are out there. But I would be slow to suggest that there is going to be a short-term gain for many listeners because of all the uncertainty that's out there, including what we know, which is obviously things like the pandemic and other factors that could affect its price. But I would not warn against it as part of an overall portfolio. And that's the key thing I would say. You know, I certainly wouldn't be advising any listeners who are paying, you know, credit card bills to invest in Bitcoin. You know, that to me isn't a sensible economic decision. Mm. You know, you pay off your high levels of debt on interest rates, and then you deal with investment, you know, options such as that.
Do many of these cryptos fail? And obviously, there's another one called Ripple, which has been involved in a little bit of controversy recently. Are they prone to sort of popping up like mushrooms and then disappearing?
Absolutely, there are. And I'm sad to say, as a financial advisor, but I bought into a coin that was a failure. It was almost, I suppose, a Ponzi scheme. So that'll tell you, you know, that there are coins out there that will never take off. So people have to tread very carefully. And again, be very, I suppose, mindful of how you're looking to get the exposure. But Bitcoin is, you know, legitimate. It is here to stay, as will the likes of Ripple and the likes of Ethereum. There's about four or five coins that I think are certainly, you know, here for the foreseeable future.
Well, let's ask you about that, because there's a lot of questions coming in about something I'm going to say now that I don't really understand. But XRP are in trouble with the SEC, so that's the Stock Exchange Commission in America. So XRP is presumably another type of currency. A lot of people want to know, is that dead in the water now because of the lawsuit from the SEC, or is XRP going to live?
It's difficult to know. And again, there's a lot of conjecture around, you know, what could happen. One of the biggest issues that, you know, I suppose cryptocurrencies have faced is the lack of regulation. You know, that because they operate in what we call this unregulated world, there's no real, you know, I suppose, buyback. You know, for example, if you bought shares in a registered company like Apple, you know, you receive a trading certificate, and you know, that almost is like a form of a guarantee. That doesn't really exist in the crypto world. You know, coins can be stolen, prices can fluctuate massively with no real, I suppose, you know, sense of why. So again, it's hard to kind of say definitively whether, you know, anything is going to survive or not. But again, it goes back to the fact that I would only ever invest funds in this in very moderate amounts for monies that you can afford to lose.
Right.
Because of the risk reward scale, and there's no science to it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, especially when one is flying upwards and the other one's going down, and you don't know why. Just finally, I've heard talk of things called digital wallets. What are they, and are they a good idea?
Yeah, so a lot of the ways of getting, I suppose, coins into your personal possession is through the form of what they call a digital wallet. And I think we're all becoming a little bit more familiar with it now by virtue of, you know, using our phones as wallets, almost like a form of, you know, payment method. And digital wallets are the same thing. They seem to give another layer of security, you know, by way of the fact that, you know, they're more secure than perhaps other forms of holding the coins themselves.
So it would be like an external hard drive that some people might have for their laptops. It's just a small little extra device you plug in, and that's where your cryptocurrency would be digitally stored. Is that the idea?
Exactly. That's exactly the idea of it. You know, and sometimes they come at a cost, and we have to watch again, you know, like every other asset that we buy, what are the costs of you know, storing these coins and whether or not they're worthwhile. As I said, and I don't want to promote any particular company, but Coinbase, to my mind, for, you know, the average listener, would be a company that I would suggest, you know, they are the most, I suppose, close to being regulated as any of the exchanges that people may use.
Okay.
I have personal experience with them, but as I say, you know, we just need to be very mindful of the fact that, you know, they are open to, I suppose, you know, risk of people, you know.
I think the scale you gave us is definitely the thing I'm going to take away from this, that if there's a 1-7 scale, Bitcoin is an 8. Nick Charalambos, Managing Director of Alpha Wealth, thank you very much for giving us an insight into that today. Really appreciate it. Take care.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again. Dermot and Dave, listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.